Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
I have never met anyone who consumes the level of salt that this guy does.
Ha. Mike Bloomberg biographer Joyce Pernick talking about our mayor's eating habits. Remember when she told this story on our show last fall?
Isaac Gracie mentioned one day for an interview with him for this book. And there was a big bowl of popcorn. So I took a small handful, and I put some in my mouth, and my lips burned. Not only was it so salty that I couldn't tolerate it, but there was a salt shaker on the tray, and he added more salt to it.
Well, give the mayor credit. When it comes to nutrition, he is perfectly willing to fall back on that old politician's trump card. Do as I say, not as I do. Former New York Times writer and Bloomberg biographer Joyce Pernick, her book Bloomberg, Money, Power, Politics. And as you've been hearing in the news, New York City is trying now to cut your salt intake, making it the latest, along with trans fats, smoking, calorie counts in the mayor's ambitious health agenda. And here's the breakdown of what the mayor wants to be voluntary. The target is a 25% reduction in the amount of salt in packaged and restaurant food over the next 5 years. Joining us now to discuss this effort and why cutting salt is such a good idea is Marion Nessel, Paulette Goddard Professor in the Department of Nutrition at NYU and author of, among other books, Food Politics, How the Food Industry Influences Nutrition and Health, and her most recent book, What to Eat, which is such a straightforward name that it doesn't need a subtitle. She blogs at foodpolitics.com. Hi, Marion Nessel. Welcome back to WNYC.
Glad to be here.
What's your take on these proposals?
Well, we have the most extraordinary mayor who appoints public health directors who are actually interested in public health. It's really quite remarkable. And the new health director, Tom Farley, is following in Tom Frieden's footsteps in trying to see what he can do to reduce rates of heart disease and high blood pressure and diabetes among New Yorkers who have very high rates of these conditions.
Of course, it's hard to change your behavior, even if you know how bad it is for you. You heard Joyce Pernick's story about the mayor himself.
Right, and that's exactly why the SALT initiative matters, because the SALT initiative is really a matter of personal choice. If you want to eat a low-salt diet, you can't do it, because 80% of the salt is already in processed foods and pre-prepared foods when they're served to you. You have no control over the amount of salt that's in those foods, because very little of the salt, although Mayor Bloomberg may be an exception, but very little salt for most people is added at the table. It's all there to begin with.
And in vegetables, who would have thunk one of the biggest categories that they want to cut down on is in canned vegetables?
Well, those are always very salty, and the food industry needs salt for processed foods, because the salt covers the taste of the bad additives that are in the foods. It weighs more, so you pay more for it. It makes you thirsty, so you want to drink more. And when they do focus group testings with people about what their taste is like, people say they want their food salty.
Is it solely from a health perspective about hypertension, high blood pressure?
Well, there may be other things as well, but that's certainly the main one. And for anybody who has high blood pressure, their doctors are always telling them to cut down on salt. And it's really hard to do. As I said, I see it as a matter of personal choice. If you want your food saltier, you can put as much salt on your food as you want to. I don't want salt on my food.
Canned soups is another area. Why is it so hard to can a vegetable or make a soup without a ton of salt?
Well, because of the way it's done industrially takes all the taste and flavor out of it. It's really hard to make a good soup unless you're doing it at home and cooking it yourself. Once those things are heated to the point where they kill every single potentially dangerous bacterium, they just don't taste very good. So the salt goes into them, and I'm astounded at the amount of salt in soups. They look like they meet standards, but even the low-salt soups for babies or for little kids have 480 milligrams of sodium per half cup. And who eats a half cup of soup? And that's a gram of salt.
Right. If you eat a whole can, which is technically two servings, of a typical Progresso soup, then you're getting like 75% of your daily allowance of salt.
The upper limit.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
And here are some of the numbers, and help us understand what they mean. The federal government recommends that sodium intake from salt be limited to 1,500 to 2,300 milligrams a day, which I think is about a teaspoon.
Roughly, a teaspoon of salt.
And the average adult in this country consumes about 3,400 milligrams a day, or about two times.
Yeah, I think most people consume two or three times the amount of salt that they really need. And the food industry says we can't lower it because when we do, people notice. And the only way that the salt is going to get lowered is if everybody does it.
Not everybody is susceptible, and cardiologists will tell you this. You may be susceptible to salt for your blood pressure. I may not. And I wonder if people can tell, because if you don't have to worry about something, why worry about it? Can people do, you know, short term, over a day or two, consume a lot of salt, take your blood pressure, and then worry about it or not?
Well, sometimes yes, sometimes no. Actually, the measurement of blood pressure is something that's really quite complicated. But I'm impressed in talking to cardiologists that many of them say that everybody would be better off eating a lot less salt than
Why?
They were. Because blood pressure rises with age. And there, most people have higher blood pressure as they get older, and as our population is getting older, it's a bigger problem. And it's one of those things where the consequences of high blood pressure are horrible. Strokes, for example, then those are pretty bad. And you could prevent it by having a lower blood pressure. Wouldn't it be nice if something that would help prevent it could be done easily without your having to think about it?
A listener asks, if salt serves as a preservative in processed food and there would be less salt in our food, do we risk greater food poisoning?
I don't think so, because usually the processed foods that have the salt in them have been sterilized in one way or another anyway. And to preserve foods with salt really takes a lot of salt, like salt cod or something like that. So I don't think that's a big issue.
So Mayor Bloomberg is trying to use the bully pulpit here and get restaurants and food manufacturers to do things voluntarily, as well as raise the consciousness of everybody for our own diets. What do you think is government's proper role here?
Well, I think government's proper role is to encourage at this point and eventually to enforce. You know, food companies, the manufacturers of food packages have already started lowering the amount of sodium in their products, and they're doing it gradually. They have a 5-year plan for getting it down by 20 or 25%.
And that's the mayor's plan.
And that's
which doesn't
mayor's
seem
plan.
Like that much. 20% less in 5 years? Eh.
It seems really slow, but, you know, it works just like alcohol does. You can predict from the amount of alcohol that's consumed by a population the proportion of people who are going to abuse alcohol. And in a sense, the sodium business is the same way. If we could reduce the amount of sodium in the American food supply by a significant amount, then we would reduce the amount of hypertension in the population, although it might not. It's hard to determine how that would affect individuals. But on a population basis, it's probably a pretty good idea.
And from Adam on our comments page, I'm concerned that salt will be replaced with other chemicals if these regulations come into effect. Do they account for this?
I don't know the answer to that question. It seems to me that processed foods are full of chemicals anyway. You know, the two places where the salt comes are in processed packaged foods and in restaurant foods. And restaurant foods could cook with less salt once people got used to it. They would find the taste and flavors of foods to be much more interesting and people would be much more sensitive to them if there weren't quite so much salt on everything. With the packaged foods, I don't know what you do. They're made with chemicals anyway.
We just have 30 seconds. Are there salt substitutes that are better for you but satisfy the craving?
They are, but I don't think they taste as good.
Like what?
The part potassium salt substitutes and some of the other things that are there. I don't think they taste as good. It's like sugar substitutes. Some people like them, but I don't get them at all.
Jarbouz writes on our comments page, who elected Bloomberg to be New York's Jewish mother?
I'm afraid a lot of us did.
It's still funny to me, though, that people are unhappy that he raises the issue.
I think it's interesting. They see it as nanny state, whereas, in fact, in the case of salt, it's the exact opposite. You don't have a choice.
And you know
the way it is now.
You know he will oversalt the matzo ball soup.
Joyce
Pernick proved it. All right. Marion Nessel, author of books including What to Eat and from NYU's Nutrition Department, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.